The spiritual masters are clear on this point. Do not justify yourself. Before I get into a story to help explain that, I want to explain what it means a little bit. So when we justify ourselves, we make ourselves the law. I am the one who knows what's right, I am the one who knows what the right thing to do is, and therefore, I must be right. In the same way, the challenge with that is, God's laws are there, and they should be our justification, not ourselves. So whenever we turn to ourselves and make ourselves our own justification, we are eventually circumventing God and his rights and his laws, and that's the challenge. So here's the story. It comes from the first book of Kings. It's called The Man from Judah. There was a man from Judah who was called by God to go preach to the shrine in Bethel. God commanded him to go preach against the altar, and while he's there, he is to take no food, no drink, and not leave there until God tells him. So he walks off to Bethel. While in Bethel, he goes into the king's sanctuary, and there he proclaims, "O altar, O altar, you will be destroyed, and the bones of your priests will be burned on you." Basically saying that the altar is going to be destroyed and defiled, and the king will be the responsible for it. The king, being there, hears this and enraged says, "How dare you say this at the king's sanctuary?" And he said, "O you, king, you will also be destroyed, and your descendants will be killed as well." Furious by this, he stretched out his hand and says, "Seize him." And as soon as he stretched out his hand, it withers back on him. Freaked out by this, he says, "O man of God, intercede for me. Ask God to help me." So the prophet prayed. And as he prayed, the altar broke in half, and all the ashes spilled out, and the king's hand was restored. Needless to say, they didn't touch him after that. So as he left the king's sanctuary, a prophet in the town found out that he was there and had preached against the king's sanctuary. He sent his son to go find him and invite him in. The son found the man from Judah and said, "My master has asked you to come eat with us and to stay with us." So he comes in, and the prophet said, "An angel of the Lord has spoken to me and said, 'You are to eat here and to leave as soon as you are done eating.'" He complies and he eats some bread, drinks some wine, and heads off down the road. As he's heading off down the road, God spoke to him and said, "Did I tell you to eat or drink? Did I tell you to leave? No, therefore you will be punished." And as soon as he finished speaking, a lion jumped out of the woods and mauled him to death. Hearing that this had happened, the prophet said to his sons, "Mount my donkey, I'm going after him." So he headed down the road on his donkey and finds the man of God mauled on the side of the road with the donkey on his right and the lion sitting on his left. And he picks up the man of God and takes him home and buries him in his own grave, saying, "This truly was a prophet from God. I want to be buried next to him." That's the end of the story. Bible always doesn't have these nice little conclusions, but the point of it is very important for us. In the midst of this, we have lots of different people who justify themselves and challenge what should have been. We first have the prophet of God, who does exactly what God wants. At first, the king justifies himself in saying, "This is my sanctuary. This is the place of God. How dare you tell me otherwise?" And when God proves otherwise, he changes his mind. The prophet, the poor little guy, doesn't realize that he's being deceived by the other prophet in town, who thinks that he's spoken to by an angel, and therefore complies even though it's against God's will, justifying his actions based on the advice of this prophet. The other prophet, realizing he's wrong because he was deceived by a probably demonic angel, tries to reconcile it by burying the man and treating him with respect. The whole story is centered around all these issues that are really the core of today's gospel. In today's gospel, Jesus tells us something that's really startling. He says, the latter went home justified, not the former. The guy who beat his breast and prayed, "O God, be merciful to me, a sinner," is the one justified. Which challenges us. We often like to justify ourselves, and we do it on many different grounds. The first and most prominent is the idea of predestination. Because I've chosen Jesus, because God's in my life, I don't have to worry about anything. God's going to save me. Basically, since God has saved me, I can do whatever I want. It doesn't matter anymore. Which makes life largely inconsequential. Everything we do has no meaning. We can do whatever we want without consequence. Makes life boring. Which is why the church came down hard on the issue of predestination, which the Protestants preached in the 16th and 17th century. And instead of completely destroying it, instead we saw it in a new light. The way the Catholics understand predestination is that God wants us to be saved. We were created, we were designed, we are encouraged towards our salvation, but we always have the freedom to choose against it. We always have the freedom to choose something else, and therefore there are consequences to our actions. The challenge we have, though, is when we start to justify ourselves, we can easily say, oh, God will forgive me, I will be in heaven, it's not a big deal. That's not true. That's the challenge of today's gospel. That mentality is the same mentality as the Pharisee, who went into the temple and prayed to himself. Look at how great I am, God. Shouldn't you love me? I'm awesome. Why not, right? Which leads to the second part of justification. So often we look at our lives much like the Pharisee and say, look at how great I am. Of course God's going to be great to me. I do what I'm supposed to. I pray. I go to Mass. I give money to the church. I do all these great things. Why wouldn't God love me? Is that really what God is looking for? Look at the example of the tax collector, the lowest rung of society. He comes to the temple realizing his need for God. It wasn't about how great he was. He could have given money to the temple. He could have done all these things, but that wasn't where he was at. He knew he needed God, and therefore God justified him. O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's where we want to be as well. It's not about all the good works and the other things. It's about having God be our justification. What does he want? What is his rules? What is he desiring for us? What is truly good? That is our challenge. Which leads into my final point before I bring everything together. A way we tend to justify ourselves and not realize it is through excuses. We say all these different things like, oh, I'm tired, therefore I can take a break. I worked hard all day, therefore I deserve this. Oh, look at all the good things I've done, I can take this now. Now, excuses on their own can be useful in certain contexts, so I don't want to dismiss them all immediately. What I want to do is reform the idea that our focus is somewhere different. Most of our excuses center inward. They're about what I want, how I feel, what I ought to do. What if we turn them outward and we said, God, what do you want of me? What is the best thing I could do right now? Sometimes we have worked hard and we do need a break. We're not meant to be machines that can operate endlessly. And there are times in which we realize God's saying, take it easy. You need some time to rest. The other times he's encouraging us, say, you can do a little bit more. Just give it a little shot. Go a little bit further. It'll be all right. And sometimes he's encouraging us a whole different direction. Regardless, he is now our justification, the God who knows better than we do. And so we're looking at his laws, his ways, as a way to cultivate the freedom and the joy we want. Because that's the goal in all of this. The more we justify ourselves, the more we get trapped in our own mind, the more we get trapped in our own ways of thinking, the more we get bound by what we think we ought to do when it might not be right. The more we work out of it and make this almost an element of prayer. As the tax collector said, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, here I am. What do you want? What do you desire of me? That will bring us our joy. That will bring us closer to God. That will help us to experience him more and bring him into our daily lives where we want him, so we don't have to worry about what's right or wrong. He tells us. We just keep working at it, listening, and complying. So I encourage you, I challenge you. Let God into your life. Listen to him. Let him be your justification for your actions. Let his laws, his ways, pervade your ways of thinking, that you may truly be free, that you may feel God's love and mercy, and recognize the many great things he can do in our lives, leading us to our salvation.